Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is, the first week in December already, so we're getting ready for a very festive occasion, and this is a good month. Last month we talked about harvest and using November as a month to harvest things, to make your dreams come true, make your desires come true, or whatever you want in life, to bring it in now. And now, in December, I think it's time for us to learn about joy and peace and happiness and love and gratitude. This is a wonderful month for that. And all the major religions right now are doing something in the month of December. I knew as soon as I'd start that.
We have to start.
Yes, we have to start sometime. So, we're going to talk tonight about joy. There, it's John. Come in, John. You better take one of those for your back. These are very soft. And there's Casey. Casey, there's a hard chair for your back also.
There's some more in there.
Okay.
Because the couch is really awesome.
Okay.
Hi.
Thanks for having me. So we're going to talk about joy tonight. And where we find joy and how we find joy. And what is this thing we call joy and all? We hear it all the time, and especially at this time of year, joy to the world. Well, where is joy? It's like everything else. It's inside of us. And we have to find that joy that's inside of us. And we're always looking on the outside of life for everything instead of going within. And knowing that we can manufacture this thing called joy. You have to make up your mind that you want to be happy, that you want to be joyful. People are waiting around for something to stimulate them to do that. No, you must get up every day and say, I have joy. I have joy. When I was a child, we used to sing a song in church which was called, I Have Joy Deep Down in My Heart. And I think that's, you have to look in there and you have to find out. What are you joyful about? It's the same way with gratitude or anything else. You have to look around and say to yourself, where is this joy coming from? Who is responsible for making me happy? Who's responsible for making me joyous? You are. Nothing outside is going to do that for you. Your job's not going to do it. Your partnership's not going to do it. You may have the couch because you're young and you can get up out of it.
Oh, good for me. Thanks.
We're talking about joy tonight and where we find joy and where we find happiness and so forth, because this is the month of joy, December. And like anything else in our life, we find joy and happiness and all that we ever want, we find inside of our own selves. And we're so used to looking on the outside of life for everything. And especially around this type of time of year, we think of a gift that somebody's going to give us is going to make us joyful, is going to make us happy, is going to do something for us. And the gift is never going to do that. It's nice to get wonderful gifts, but the joy comes from inside of you already. So if you're already joyful, the gift can add to that, but it can't make you joyful. And if it does make you joyful, if you think it's that, when the gift goes, then where does your joy go? You say your joy goes away with that. So you have to cultivate that inside of your own self, this whole idea of joy. And it's all a matter of using your thinking, of changing your thoughts. And what? Changing your thoughts about yourself, remember. Most people don't know that they're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. So they sit around and they're not joyful. They're not happy with themselves. We have to learn to love ourselves. We have to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. Yesterday, was it yesterday? No. It was Saturday in the mail. I was with a friend of mine, and she said, Dallas, what would you like to do over the holiday and so forth? We haven't been anywhere. Let's do something. And I said, oh, I want to go to the opera. And she said, well, I don't exactly like the opera, but if you want to go, we'll go. And I said, okay. She said, well, what do you want to see? I said, Don Giovanni. And I left it go with that. Saturday in the mail came a ticket for the opera. And when I opened it, the card was very nice, but when I opened the little envelope that the ticket was in, it was a ticket for $220. One ticket. Wow. And immediately my mind went into, oh, that's too much. She shouldn't have done that. What am, oh, I can't take this. I can't do this, that, the other thing. I had to stop myself immediately and say, Dallas, this is not what you teach. She must have wanted to do this for you. Now you have to call and say, thank you very much. I think you're very great. I think you're wonderful. But not use, oh, you shouldn't have done this, you see. I had to be able to take that gift in and say, thank you. Thank you very much for that ticket. Now, I think that was very nice of her. But you, while I'm telling you that story, you see how our mind, even though I'm in this and teach that, my mind wants to say, oh, no, that's too much to take from somebody. They can't afford to do that. Well, apparently she could afford to do it, or she wouldn't have done it, you see. And I think so many times we insult people when they give us something, we say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You know, they wanted to do that. They wanted to do that. So I was grateful, you see. But it's also filled with joy. The ticket didn't fill me with joy. It's already filled with joy. But I'm sure when I go to see the opera, I'll be filled with even more joy. But we have to do that for ourselves. This idea of joy and happiness, all the things that we're told that we're supposed to be and supposed to have, we do have that. They're intrinsic within us. We came to this plane of action with all that stuff in us. We just have to find it. But we place our whole thing out on the outside of life. And we think the outside of life is what's doing it. And it's not doing it. It's what you're doing for yourself. How many people know Louise Hay? Yes. For the people who don't know Louise Hay has been around 30 years or more. She wrote a book, How You Can Heal Your Own Life. Louise Hay is also a religious science minister. And she had a thing here in L.A., in Hollywood, in West Hollywood, in fact, called the Hayride. Louise Hay was able to heal herself of cancer. And she helped a lot of people with AIDS. When AIDS was killing an awful lot of people, she helped them with that. But anyway, here's what she said. Every thought you think is creating your future. Every thought you think is creating your future. And remember, that's what this teaching is about, to learn to think the thoughts that you want to think. So you have to remember that there's no such thing as an idle thought, because thoughts are always going to go someplace and do something. Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, there. Rhoda said there's chairs right around there. You can sit. Yeah, you can sit. There's chairs in the other room. Both of you. One sit there, too. You have a comfortable chair. My voice is loud enough. It carries. So anyway, every thought you think is creating your future. And that is what we have to remember. That this whole thing that we're going through, this whole experience we're going through, takes place inside of us first. And then it moves out. And it takes place with our thinking. It's always going to be with our thinking. And we're always going to have to go back to, what are we thinking about ourselves? How are we thinking about ourselves? Do we see ourselves as wonderful human beings? Do we see ourselves as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter? And do we hold that all the time for ourselves? These are the things that we need. We're talking about joy tonight, and the whole idea of this is the season of joy. And where do we find this joy? We find it inside of ourselves. But we have to change our thinking about ourselves and our thinking about how things really work. And it's not going to be the gifts. It's not going to be all the things outside of life that's doing that. Because you can have all the gifts and the trees and all the food and all the company, and you can have all the different things that you want, and you still may not be filled with joy or happiness. And this is a time of year when everyone gets stressed out. So don't let yourself get stressed out. Say you're going to have a wonderful holiday, and you're going to find that love and joy and peace inside of you. Every season has a gift in it, and this is a wonderful gift. This is a wonderful gift to have that birth of consciousness inside of you, that renewal of spirit, so that you can renew your spirit and so that you can stretch your consciousness and come up, if you want to call it, the Christ consciousness. Every one of us, each and every one of us, can obtain the Christ consciousness. It takes diligence to do that. It takes awareness to do that. But it can be done. The same way to feel joy all the time. Years ago, does anyone remember Joseph Campbell? He talked about bliss all the time. Find your bliss. Well, you can't find your happiness, bliss, and joy outside of you. You're going to find it inside of you. And it's going to have to start in your thinking. And you're going to have to give up some of your thinking and replace it. But always replace it with, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! Yes, we keep doing that. So many people now are telling me that they just love doing it, and it does something. It brings up that joy. It brings up that happiness that's supposed to be in us, that we're all entitled to. Here's something. Research has shown that negative emotions literally shrink the overall mass of the brain and interfere with memory and learning. Interfere with memory and learning. Negative thoughts. There was a book out years ago called You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. You can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. And we think so many negative thoughts, and we think, oh, well, we can do that. We're allowed to have these negative thoughts. Some of them are very fun, I must admit. But they're not good for you. And you see now they have proven what it does to your brain. They have proven so many things now with what the brain can do and the little chemicals that we're putting out. When we're happy, when we're filled with joy, even when we smile, different chemicals are released into the brain. And they cause the brain to grow and to function better and your whole life functions better. But you sit around a gloomy person, they just get gloomier and gloomier. There's no mental stimulation there. So you have to look at this brain now as any other muscle in your body. And you have to be able to work it. You have to be able to exercise it and do things with it. But you're the one that has to implant in your brain what you want it to do for you. You have to keep telling it, no, I don't want that. This is what I want. I want to feel joy. I want to feel happiness. I want to feel peace. I want to feel love. I want to feel gratitude. You see, instead of waiting for these things to happen to you, you have to start cultivating that. And it's inside of you. It's in you. And you can do that. By looking inside, we can concentrate on the things that we can truly change in a given situation. The part that we have contributed. Even if someone else is responsible for 99% of a given problem, the 1% that you have control over is the only part you can really affect. You see, you could only ever affect yourself. You can't affect anybody else. I can come here and talk and talk and talk and talk. But unless you do something with it, it hasn't affected you at all, you see. You're the one that's choosing to be affected by something. And you have to make up your mind. Do I want to learn this or don't I want to learn this? Is this good for me? Is this bad for me? It's our responsibility to do that for ourselves. So many people in metaphysics think that they can control and can change another person or can change the whole problem and so forth. You can only change that which what you are responsible for. And if you're only responsible for 1%, that's all that you can change. If 99% of it belongs to somebody else and is outside of you, you cannot change that. But once you change your 1% that you have, once you change your perspective on that, the situation, the problem, or the person will start to change. But it takes place inside of you. And you have to see, what part am I contributing to here? And then how can I change the part that I'm responsible for? Once you change the part that you're responsible for, the rest of the parts have to change also. The rest of the parts have to change also. Does that make sense? Can you understand that? See, we want to tackle something that we can't tackle. You can only work on yourself. You can only work on yourself. For years, I tried to make people happy. I gave up on that because I had a very difficult case. For years, I tried to make my mother happy. Couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Wouldn't matter if you gave her the world. She had a mindset that she wasn't going to be happy. And she wasn't. So we can't make other people happy. But we can make ourselves happy. And we can set an example that way. And if people want to follow that example, all well and good. If they don't want to follow us, there's nothing we can do about that. I use the expression, I love them, bless them, and release them. Everyone is on a path, and it's their path. They don't have to be on my path, you see. So let them do what they want. But don't let it upset you. Don't let that ruin your life and so forth. Holding on to negative emotional memories from yesterday, last month, even years ago. Often these things color the experience of the present. You see, we only have this thing called the present. I think that's what Eleanor Roosevelt said. It's a gift. That's why we call it the present. It's a gift. The moment, this time that we have is the only thing we have, and it's a wonderful gift. It's a present. But we allow all the memories from yesterday, last month, and a year ago to taint what we're doing right here and right now. And it colors the experience of the present because all those little memories and so forth become filters. And you have to look through that filter. And when you look through a filter, you're not seeing the present the way the present really is. So we have to take those things away from us. Now here's the most remarkable thing I thought. Often these things color the experience of the present, becoming part of how we define ourselves. Becoming part of how we define ourselves. Our memories. And if we don't have good memories, and if we think bad things about ourselves and negative things about ourselves. I have a cousin that still complains about her mother. Her mother's going to be 90. December the 11th. And she still thinks her mother doesn't like her and has negative things to say about her mother. Now, at 90, we're getting up there where the woman isn't going to be here on this plane of action very much longer. But this has become part of the daughter's personality. This has become part of her, and she defines herself by that. And you see, we cannot define ourselves by that. You don't want somebody to constantly say, I hate my mother. You know, or my mother's this, that, the other thing. You define yourself with your memories. Don't define yourself. You're an unlimited being. You're an unlimited being. How many people are still remembering something that their family said? Oh, you can't do this. You're no good at doing that. And that's a memory. And then we define ourselves by that. You see, you have to give those memories up. You have to give all that up and know that you're whole, complete, and perfect, that you're a wonderful human being. And we've all made mistakes. We just forget those mistakes. See, I always say it's wonderful that we make mistakes. Because if you didn't know it was a mistake, you'd keep on doing it. But as soon as you know it's a mistake, you say, oh, that's a mistake. I'm not going to do it that way anymore. And you let that go. You let that go. There's so many ways that we can redefine ourselves and see ourselves differently than to allow this mind of ours to hold these memories that tell us we're the way we are because of something. We eat because of this, that, the other thing. We do this because of this, this, and this, and this. And anything that we are doing because we are making a choice to do that. We're making a choice to be who we are. It has nothing to do with your family. It has nothing to do with anything. We're making those choices each day. So when you make those choices, make a choice to be happy. Make a choice to do all the good things for yourself and see yourself as whole and complete and perfect, as worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And don't allow the world or anybody else outside to tell you differently. You see, we give our power away all the time. We give our authority away all the time. And we do not have to do that. We have wonderful minds, and we can learn to think for ourselves. We can learn to think for ourselves. And that's the whole idea, remember, to think the thought that you want to think. To think the thought that you want to think. And to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That Aunt Catherine, who lived to be 95, when I asked her, how do you do it? How do you stay happy and positive? She said, Dallas, I control my thinking. I control my thinking. It is always going to be your thinking. And what are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking that you're happy, that you're filled with joy? Are you thinking that you're successful? Are you thinking and feeling success all the time? It has nothing to do with what's going on the outside of life. It has to do with what you're feeling. Remember Emmett Fox, the mental equivalent, the warmth of feeling. You have to have that warmth of feeling. And it's that warmth of feeling combined with that thought that manifests things in your life. That manifests things in your life. Everything is perspective and how you're looking at it. And you can change how you think about anything and how you see anything. But that's the power that we have within us. That's what we have to do. And during this month of December is a wonderful time. Because it's sort of a magical time out there. Look at all these beautiful lights and all the stuff that goes on. You don't have to get mixed up with all that buying and so forth. I would never suggest that anyone gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go shopping. That you have to get up before 4 if you want to get to the store at 4 o'clock. Now, you know, as I said to somebody, they didn't get up that early for the Crusades. I don't think I'm getting up that early to go shopping. That is not what we're talking about here. But it is this magical time of the year. This is another wonderful time because the consciousness of the world changes during this period. And you can feel the consciousness of the world change. People become more joyous. People become more giving, you see. We're singing wonderful songs now. We're hearing wonderful things going on about people. See, that's that goodwill to all men and so forth. So now is the time to connect your consciousness and let something be born inside of you. You see the whole story of Christmas, whether it happened or it didn't happen, and I will tell you, I doubt it happened, but it's a beautiful story. But if you look at it metaphysically, it means that you can have that same thing happen with inside of you. You can have a Christ consciousness born inside of you. Think of your mind as the manger. That's all. And you change all that stuff around and you start to think differently about yourself and about the world. And you say, oh, I can do this. I can change myself and I can change the world around me. But I can stay positive, I can stay happy, I can stay joyful. And you do that with your mind. You do that with your thinking. Anybody is suffering from anything is suffering because of their thinking. Everything. You see? Anything that you see in front of you was in the mind before it manifested itself. It's in the mind before it manifests itself. So think of how wonderful that gift is that you have, this gift called the mind, this gift of thinking. Remember when we used to talk about imagination, which I think is one of the greatest tools we have in our toolbox, is to use your imagination. You have to exercise your imagination and see things the way you want them to be. And if you keep seeing things the way you want them to be, they will be that way. They will be that way. And that's done, again, always. It's always going to be done with your thinking. You see? And I just keep telling you these different stories and these different things and make examples here, there, and everywhere till you come up with, oh, that does work. You see? I'm the one that's causing this. It used to be a wonderful affirmation. If it's to be, it's up to me. You're the one who has to make it happen. You're the one. And you start by using your thinking. How am I going to change my thinking? How am I going to think better thoughts about myself? And if you don't like yourself, it's simply because you haven't sat down with yourself long enough to like yourself. We're all unique individuals. We all have something wonderful to give. And we have to find that gift. We have to give that to the world. But first, give it to yourself. Give it to yourself. Make this the Christmas. Make this the season that you give yourself that gift. That gift to be happy. That gift to really enjoy your life. That gift to see life as a wonderful adventure. And then make it so. Make it a wonderful adventure. We're always going to have problems. There are always going to be nits and fleas in your life. There are always going to be nits and fleas, regardless. But you can look at them differently. And you can realize, oh, if this is in front of me, it's in front of me because I can learn a lesson from it and I can solve it instead of trying to run or hide or something. There's nothing. Remember, my father said to me, Dallas, God will not give you a burden you cannot handle. And I remember that all the time, that I can figure this out, that if it's here and I'm working with it, I have to be able to figure it out, or God would not have given it to me. You know, he would have given it to you, and you could figure it out. But since we're here and doing it, you have to know that you can do it. You have to know, oh, well, that's nothing. I can do that. Many of us fall apart, don't we? We just fall apart. This thing that we call God, or this thing that we call the universe, is always listening to us. And it is always going to help us. I was downtown today. And I wanted to find a parking space, a meter. Well, they had them red hoods over them and don't do this and can't park here and don't do this. And I was getting a little frazzled. And I finally said, you're going to have to do this for me. I can't see. One, in front of the museum, I almost got, and I was coming this way and a woman backed right into the spot. And I thought, oh, well. Well, went right up the corner, and there was a perfect parking meter. And you'll like this one. I pulled in, and it was flashing fail. So I didn't even have to put money in it. But I hand almost anything over to this power that we call God. I said, well, I can't figure this out. You're going to have to figure this out. And I was around the courthouse and Disney Center and all those, you know, which the parking is, you know, gone. And I refused to spend the money to park in a thing because it's, what did the one sign say? $3 for every 15 minutes or something. You know, and I parked one day down there when I went down, and I just went 5 minutes, and I thought, oh, I'll just go into the parking lot. It won't cost me much. It cost me $15. It was a flat fee. I thought, well, we won't do this one again. But this thing that we call God is always listening. It's always listening. And what do you think it's listening? Not only when I say, oh, I can't do this, I need a parking meter, you're going to have to find a parking meter. It's listening to what you're thinking about. It's listening. See, it can only work with what you're thinking about. It can't change your mind. God does not change minds. God loves, but God does not change minds. You have to change your mind. And you have to change your mind about yourself. And we can do that. And that's the most marvelous thing. Why do we want to sit around and wait for somebody else to discover us? Or to tell us we're all right? When we have that power to say, I'm all right. I can do this for myself. And as soon as you start doing that, other things start to happen. Other things start to come into your life. But it starts with us. Always it's going to start with us. And what am I thinking about myself? And what am I thinking about the world? Here, with the season coming up, how many people are saying, oh, I hate the holiday seasons. Now I have to spend all this money to buy gifts for people, and I don't have the money. That's the conversation that's going on most of the time. Instead of saying, isn't this a joyous time of year, and I have the money to buy the gifts that I want for the people that I'm going to give gifts to. And then you don't have to go out there and spend a fortune. Gifts, it's not the gift, it's the sentiment and the love and stuff behind the gift. It's not the big gift that counts. So don't do that to yourself this year. Don't do that to yourself. Years ago, when Christmas would come, I would say to myself, I will not use a credit card during the Christmas season. And I will have enough money to pay cash. And I may have to look for the right and perfect gift somewhere else. But you'd be surprised at the wonderful things that are out there which don't cost a fortune. And then you feel good about yourself, and when January comes, you say, oh, I can sit here without any bills coming in. And some people go out. Rhoda and I used to, used to go to Candace Silver's class. One year she told me, oh, it's just dreadful at Christmas. She said, you know, I have to spend $10,000 at Christmas time for gifts. I said, why? She said, well, people expect it. I have to give them nice gifts. Well, you know what I say? Let them expect it from somebody else. You know? I don't know if anyone's expecting. I don't expect nice gifts. I expect gifts. You know?
Bake them cookies.
Pardon?
Bake them cookies.
Yes, bake them cookies. Do something nice for yourself or for people. But people spend too much money. Now, if you're spending all that money and so forth, and you're worried about it, now, where's the joy? What happened to the joy of the season and so forth? We've allowed the joy of the season to be a stampede to go to stores, to run up credit cards. where everyone feels miserable and puts on a fake smile and absolutely worried to death of how they're going to pay for this stuff. Don't do that to yourself. You see, that's the part. The world's telling you to do things like that. Outside forces are telling you to do something like that. You have to sit in your own consciousness and say, huh, what can I afford? You see, and make it so that you can keep that joy going. If you can't keep the joy going of the season, and that joy should be all year, then this whole thing has gotten out of hand, gotten out of whack. You see, if we put people through this wonderful season and stress them out and throw them into debt for the rest of the year they're paying for it, is that any holiday season? Is that what a holiday is supposed to be? See, and we've allowed it to become those things. We've allowed it to become something that it wasn't intended to be. It was never intended to be this. You know, at least I got gifts when I grew up and so forth, but my grandparents all said they were delighted to get an orange at Christmas time. That's what they got. And when I was a child, coming home on the school bus, the one school bus driver, Percy Blaine was his name, always gave us an orange at Christmas time. And we were delighted. I
always got an orange in my stocking.
Yeah, we always got an orange for Christmas because it was a great treat to have, you know. They didn't have all
didn't
the,
have that.
They didn't have them in this, around like they do today. But little things like that is what the season's about, and that's where the joy comes from, finding things like that. You know, it's the little things. But you have to think, what's going on inside of me? But we're doing everything. What I'm trying to say here is, we're doing it to ourselves all the time. And we're doing whatever's going on, we're doing it with our thinking. We're doing it with our thinking. You see. Remember, this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. Well, prosperity and abundance, including money, does not mean running up your credit cards at Christmas time and then trying to take the whole year to pay them off. That is not prosperity, abundance. And that's not keeping money freely circulating in your life. So have a wonderful season, but use common sense with it. And you don't have to. You know, many times, and I did this when I was much younger, we think, oh, the bigger the gift, the more the person's going to love us. They're really going to love us this time. I'll get in the biggest gift. And you see, it doesn't matter. And you may have all gone through this in your life. You cannot buy love. You cannot buy it. It's either there or it isn't there. It's either there or it isn't there. Doesn't matter. You can give the person the most expensive gift. If the love isn't there, it's not there, you see. Which brings up that thing, we're always looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. How many people here remember Scott Peck wrote a book called Road Less Traveled? What did he say about love? Do not look for love where it is unattainable. And that's what most people do. They look for love where it is unattainable. What does that mean? That means many people sit around and think, oh, I love Brad Pitt. Well, that's all right. But he's unattainable. You see? So you ruin the rest of your life and waste the rest of your life pining after something that's unattainable. So you're doing that again to yourself, and it's done with your thinking. So you can change that thinking. But that was the essence of that whole book, was do not look for love where it is unattainable. And we do that. And around this time of year, we try to do that. We try to buy love. Parents try to buy their children's love. Older children try to buy their parents' love. People do this, people do that. And it's not going to work, because that's on the outside of life. And you have to go within yourself and find that joy and that happiness Or as Campbell said, that bliss. And that bliss is inside of you. So take time each day. Sit down and love yourself. Love yourself. And all the things in your life will clear up. Remember, every time you love yourself more, more things come into your life. This whole thing, we say, money makes the world go round, but it's love that makes the world go around. It's love that makes the world go around. If you really love yourself and love everything around you and so forth, the money's going to be there, and it doesn't have to be all that much money. You see, we think we need all this money to be happy. How much money do you think you need to be happy? You see, a millionaire thinks, oh, I'm no longer happy, now I need a billion. Then when I get a billion, I need 2 billion. You see, so it's not going to be the money either. It's not going to be the money either. When I said that this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money, I deliberately called it that because if you have an abundant consciousness and a prosperous consciousness, money will appear as the byproduct. Money will appear as the byproduct of that. But if you have a consciousness of scarcity, money cannot circulate in your life. But once you have a prosperity and an abundance consciousness, then money comes as a side product of it. So many people say, oh, Dallas, you teach positive thinking. I don't teach positive thinking. I teach you to love yourself, and positive thinking is the byproduct of that. See, we always are concentrating on the byproducts. And that's why we don't get what we want sometimes. Because you can't get the byproduct by concentrating on the byproduct. If you concentrate on abundance and prosperity, you will get money, which is the byproduct. If you learn to love yourself and everybody else around you in this whole world, you'll start to think positive thoughts. That is a byproduct, you see. People want to know, how do you think positive thoughts? You choose to think positive thoughts. You choose to think positive thoughts. And when I'm someplace where I can't come up with a positive thought, I leave that area and find an area where I can think positive thoughts. You see, so many people stay in the same situation. Now, how are you going to think positive thoughts when you're in that same situation all the time? So you move out of these situations. You do something. But it's done with your thinking. It's done with your thinking. So this time, during December, take time to go within. Take time to go inside of yourself and find that joy and that happiness and that bliss that is already there. It's already there. I told this story a long time ago. I'll tell it quickly now. Thousands of years ago, the gods were very angry with the people. And they said, let's hide from the people. The one god said, oh yeah, we'll go to the topest, the highest mountain and we'll hide there. And the one said, well, that won't work. You know how humans are. They'll find you there. Oh, let's go to the deepest part of the ocean. Now, you know how humans are. They'll find us there. Finally, one said, oh, I got an idea. Let's hide within them. They'll never look there. And that's what God did. God is inside of you. God is inside of you. And you have to look there. Now why do we look there for God and we look there for ourselves? Because we and God are one and the same. Remember, all that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. And God is working in, as, and through me. And I am living, moving, and having my being in God. So God and I are one. So we look inside of ourselves to find that. And we always find our power inside of ourselves instead of outside, looking all the time outside of ourselves. So this time, this month, last month was harvest. This month is going to be joy and love and gratitude. Let's look inside of ourselves for that. And let's find that. Make this a wonderful season. And you'll be able to start out the new year with a blast. Completely different. You see, you can make up your mind. You have enough time. It takes 21 days to change your mind. It takes 21 days to manifest, usually. They use that 21 because of the chicken and the egg, by the way. But, so you have more than 21 days to the end of the month. So now you have enough time to be completely new by New Year's Eve. You could completely redo your thinking. If you completely redo your thinking, you can completely redo everything about yourself. You know, you can do that. You can change yourself. You can change your body, you can change your looks, you can change your mind. But it starts with you, and it starts with you thinking. It starts with you learning to love yourself. And this is the time of year to really sit and love yourself. It's a wonderful time of year. It's a magical time of year. And Wraith Mind changes during the month of December. Right after New Year's, you know, goes right back to the negativity. But there's a wonderful shift in consciousness this type of year. And this is what you want to take advantage of. Remember, I told you a long time ago, if you want to do treatment work, which is prayer, do it either early morning or very late at night when Wraith Mind goes to sleep and when Wraith Mind isn't up. You see? It's like the static on a radio. It's too much static during the day for your things to get through. Turn it down. Turn it down. Okay? I have some affirmations for money. I am a special, unique person. Now, everyone here knows that, don't you? Good. No one like you ever before. No one like you ever again. You're unique. You're the rarest of the rare. I accept and love myself for who I am right now. Is anyone here still waiting to love themselves when they get better? When something else happens to them? Don't do that. I accept and love myself for who I am right now. Do it now. You only have the now. There's no other place. My path and life's work are my highest priorities. My path and life's work are my highest priorities. Make your life your highest priority. Make that gift that you're giving to the world your highest priority. We get into trouble by not recognizing that and by taking something less than. So many people have gone through their whole life doing something less than. Don't do something less than. Do what you want to do. Find out what you want to do. And here again, people say, I don't know how to do that, or I don't know what I want. So what? Become still. Become quiet. And ask. Ask. And that answer will come to you. But we have to go inside of ourselves. And we have to see that. And this month is a wonderful month to be able to do that. It's a magical month. And this month, with Wraith Mind changing, you can flip things in there. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.